You will be given a test to determine your ability to withstand shock.
Well, look who's here.
This is the night when fear and horror walk hand in hand.
Do you feel up to it?
The most terrifying form of evil is that which lurks within the human mind.
Rated X.
Welcome to What the Fuck Are You Watching? We're a weekly podcast discovering the disturbing, the extreme, and everything in between. Before we started this podcast, the only movie I have ever watched was Power Rangers, the movie. And let me tell you, man, downgrade in the Zords, okay? Especially Zach, dude. He went from a mammoth to a frog. Freaking brutal. Anyway.
Oh my God.
I'm Chris. This is Lisa.
Hello.
And we got Bo.
Hi.
And let me tell you, speak of the devil, and he'll show up on your podcast. It's Sam Hell.
It's rare, but it happens.
Oh, I know, man. We are.
Yeah.
Blessed. Honored. Cursed, maybe.
Afflicted at the very least.
Oh man, we are excited for sure. Our first guest,
yay, number one.
Yeah.
I'm always number one.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, number one in my book, Sam Hill.
I try.
I guess we'll just start with you know, all the different things you do, including your films. I've seen, like, books and stuff.
Yeah, there's quite a bit of stuff. I'm a removed self-absorbed, I guess you could say. I like to throw myself out there and pretend I didn't, so.
We'll also be covering the upcoming film, Disfigured Perception.
Fun little project we did.
Hell yeah. Awesome movie.
Made it a feature film, so why not?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, we watched it yesterday.
I'm glad you guys made it through somehow.
Yeah. No, we liked it.
I really liked it, man. I like the little kind of twist at the end. It was really cool.
I had to do something. There's a lot of similar looks and similar storylines,
mm-hmm.
And I was like, let's just do a little twist at the end, because I kind of shot it in segments over maybe like a month and a half.
Oh yeah.
And the first two segments I was like, it's not enough, so I asked some friends out here if they want to be a part of it. They said yeah. Then what happened? I got some funds to get more effects from James Bell, and we shot the last part, so it was like 3 days of shooting. No, wait. Yeah, 3 days of shooting, and somehow gave me a feature.
Damn.
Wow.
3 days, huh?
I know. I was thinking 3 days seems like a short amount of time.
Yeah, I mean, I've done some projects, some short films that are like 20, 30 minutes, and I can do those in a day, but like something where it's like, it's got to be like 70 plus, it's like, it takes like, maybe like three to four days plus.
Okay.
Oh, really? Nice.
Yeah.
Man, so looking through your movies, man, every time I jump on your site, samhell.com, I'm always drawn to Vania.
Yeah.
I am also in love with Vania, and I was saddened to learn that we were supposed to get a feature-length sequel to it.
We hopefully have somebody who's going to fund it, maybe next year. And I already talked with Ossery, and they said that they're down. It's just more of a funding thing. And yeah, it's aiming to be feature length and kind of like, not like a start over, but like a continuation, but like you don't need to watch the first one to kind of get it. So like I wanted to kind of be able to like stand on its own, so like maybe just a vampire film that's feature length. and you kind of already know who this vampire person is, with no real like ties to like the first, other than like it's Ossory as a vampire again.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, hopefully that's like the only thing that is for 2025 that I'm like staring at that looks plausible. And depending on Black Friday and if the funder who wants to fund it all like decides to do that, then that will be like the bigger film for that year.
Hell yeah.
And it depends on where we shoot it at. It could be here in Vegas, but I probably thinking New York or like Pennsylvania.
That'd be awesome, man. Idea for Vania 2, have Richter Belmont bust through the door with his whip. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Castlevania.
It is that.
And so your Black Friday thing that you mentioned, your disfigured perception is available for pre-order on the 23rd of November?
Yeah, so I do every year like a birthday to Black Friday thing, so it's not just Thursday and Friday. So it starts on my birthday and it goes to like the 29th. Yeah, and then I kind of drop prices for most stuff, and then I kind of release like stuff we've been working on. So it's like that one will be released, an adult film that I'm finishing shooting tomorrow, and then a friend's adult film that I did the camera work on are like the three main titles that are coming out. And like we'll have like new merch and stuff like that, but like all the titles, it will be like 50-60% off, so like you can get the new ones but also not miss out like on prior stuff. And I think everything from my like catalog is pretty much on there. So
awesome.
So what are like some of the movies in your catalog that you would recommend to somebody like new getting into your work for the first time?
It depends. Like, I always try to talk to them, like, especially like at events, like when I'm vending, like I try to figure out what kind of films they're into. If they're always trying to look for more, then I'll like push to like movie wise, like Green Hell, Love Dump, which is like the most shocking thing. So if a Serbian film is nothing to them, and it's like, all right, well then try this. But if it's like the most they've seen is like Saw, I'll be like, well, you can try like Let's Stop at the Morgue, that has like nudity and like a story driven slasher film, but it's like black and white. And then kind of go into like maybe Vania will be the next, because like that's when we start like the erotic side of it, and it's minimal, there's not that much like straight adult content. If they're cool with that, then you know, you just bump it up. And just like, I've seen Vania, I like it. Okay, well, like the next one will probably be like Love Dump, which is probably the most messed up one.
Oh, hell yeah.
And if they can watch that, then they can pretty much watch the rest of it.
That explains why that's the one we were drawn to that we wanted to watch.
Love Dump.
Good title to a film. And
yeah,
it's a unique, gory, messed up project that, I don't know, like, it's very based on Dahmer, so I like try to like make somebody who's obsessed with Dahmer and then just got in over their head.
Hell yeah. Yeah, I see
that. Sounds interesting, yeah.
A lot of praise for Love Dump. Everywhere I kind of was looking around for stuff, people seem to really like Love Dump.
Awesome.
It's the one that got like the most noise. There's a reviewer that I didn't know at the time that I guess found it, and he has like 80,000 followers on TikTok or something like that, or 20, something like that.
Damn.
And he just did like an 8-second video showing the cover and like the story about it. And I like woke up to like a couple hundred orders.
Oh, that's wow. Awesome.
That's cool, man.
Yeah.
That kind of spread the word out a little bit. And then, after that, then I became friends with him. He started doing audio on my films.
Nice. Not about poop, though. Loved him.
No. No.
It is. It does look like that, especially with some of the like the stills I posted.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I always thought like Love Dump would be like semen drop type of.
Oh.
And I just took it from Static X.
Oh, yeah. Now, love has so little to do with my semen drops that never would have occurred to me.
Yeah. I just kind of, I think I grabbed the name of it and then just ran with it.
Oh, yeah. Like,
that's cool. You know.
Yeah.
It always starts with the title.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, does it? Do you have it? I was going to ask about, I know for myself and other sort of creative types that I know, it's not uniform whether a title comes first or a premise but for you it's title first.
For the most part, I have like a book list of like ideas that kind of start with titles, and then I like dive deep into them. Like Disfigured Perception was supposed to be a Presto Grotesto, and it was supposed to be like a like shock film that like it had like magic tricks that were like erotic and gory. And ultimately, like, the scene that I was supposed to film for it, that I was supposed to start it, like, it didn't happen. So I just kind of, like, shot with other people these weird ideas. And that kind of came together. And then, yeah, the ending came. So I was like, this doesn't really fit, like, that magician magic show anymore. Like, so we got to change the name. And then that was kind of, like, the hardest part out of everything is, like, what do you call it?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But for the most part, it's like Love Dump, and then it's like I wrote to it, and then, or like Vania, Castlevania, the Castlevania. Like, I was like, okay, well, cool. It was originally called the Euphoria Effect, which was like someone who believes they're a vampire, but they're ultimately not. It's just like a weird effect. And then I was like, I don't think people know how to say that. So,
yeah.
You're correct in that assessment.
It kind of goes with that. Like, I'll play with something, I'll shoot it, and I'm like, this doesn't really work anymore. Or I'll be like, oh, this is perfect, because I shot it to the title's name, so.
Thanks.
Hell yeah.
You mentioned that it was supposed to originally be, like, a magician. Disfigured Perception. So, does that mean that one day we're going to get a magician gore fest movie from you?
It would be cool. I think so too. The girl who brought up the idea for like the main idea of it, like I guess the main scene that it would have ended on, and I would have just filmed the other stuff that was like a build up to it. We were supposed to shoot it, and she was supposed to be in another project, but I guess she couldn't make it out to Vegas at that time.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, okay, well, I don't know when you're coming out next, mm-hmm. So like I can't really cater to like. Hold it, like taking people's money who helped to kind of like fund it, and then hold money here to like film the rest of it.
Yeah.
And then wait for you to possibly come out here to shoot it. And then I don't know if that could be like next week, next month, or like mid year 2025. So,
yeah,
I just didn't want to do the scene because it was mainly her idea.
Yeah.
I kind of built around it. And if I like put somebody else in it, it's like it would be like taking her idea. And I was like, so if she's down for it, sure. She does come to Vegas a lot, so I was like, all right,
yeah.
Maybe if you know things turn around, I get Vania done and something else. I do have like another feature length like adult film I want to do. So those are like whatever comes first, sort of.
Yeah. Well, it sounded interesting. That's why I asked.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I jack off every time I see David Blaine.
Oh my god.
David Blaine's good. I like
him.
Yeah, he's fucking next level, man. Well, I guess we'll get into our Instagram questions. This one comes from babypeach.arts. Check out her art on Instagram. It's pretty cool. I think my favorite is the naked woman with a dude's severed head. Like almost breastfeeding.
Oh,
this is what I mean. Our community, these like sort of goth, like horror metal types, they're always the cuddliest, like handles and or personalities.
Uh-huh. Right.
Yeah. You're all so cute and cuddly, and this is what comes of that. I don't know, man. I love it. That's an interesting dichotomy. But I digress. But, what's her question?
Well, What's your average day like when you're not a movie maker?
A lot of deciding how to push out these movies, as in like advertise them.
Yeah.
Try to find work that's not related to me, like camera operator, editor on other people's films, or just like being a present husband and dad to my kids.
Oh yeah.
So like I work from home, so I try to get it done, and like. all right, like, let's go to the park if you haven't been to the park, or let's go here or there or out to eat or something like that, to take the kids to do that. I try not to make everything about film and, like, creative arts, but it does pay the bills, and I'm like, it's the only thing I do, so it does require a lot of my time.
Yeah.
But for the most part, yeah, I mean, like, if I get a break from that, I'll, like, play some video games or watch a movie. But for the most part, it's just work and family.
Mm-hmm. Nice, yeah. Gotta get that work-life balance.
Yeah, that should be better for me.
What kind of video games you like to play, Sam Hill?
I specifically bought the PS5 just so I could play Spider-Man.
Nice.
Yeah, dude, it was worth it just for that.
Yeah, it was. And I beat it, and I was like, cool, when's part 3 coming up? And then I just digressed to my, like, Call of Duty, and I'm like, all right, I'll blink out without, I'll get higher, drink a beer, and shoot that, and then I'm like, all right, that's enough, I'm losing, I'm out, I'm gonna go sit on the couch and watch a Disney movie.
I would like to officially recommend the Silent Hill 2 remake. It's a good one. The Silent Hill, it's been not great for the last, I don't know, 2 years or so. But this one, this little remake,
That's what I've heard. I've heard some people speak very highly of it. And especially with, like, the horror community and films, it's like horror games are next. And I always get told you should, like, go check that out. But I don't like jump scares. So it's
I'm on the same team as you with this. I think jump scares are, like, cheap and also, like, not really, I'd say almost ineffectual. Like, they don't carry over. Like, you can be unsettled by a film and it'll linger with you. But, like, a jump scare, then it's over.
Yeah, you know, I don't sort of get that same thing too. Like, it's a little bit lasting longer if it's like, I think about it and realize how, like, messed up it is. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wow, that was, when it gets jumped, I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Out for a second, but we're back to normal. Like, so yeah, I understand that. I get that a lot.
My thing is, jump scares don't even freak me out. I just laugh for a second at everybody else getting freaked out by them, and then that's it. Yeah. I like the things you have to think about.
Yeah, I tend to kind of, like, once I get a jump scare, I'm like, all right, cool, that's one. And then, like, part two will come in, or, like, a second. I'm like, all right, this movie's over. Or this show's over. Like,
yeah.
Like, I checked out.
All right, our next Instagram question comes from Hexilox. Hexilox asks, the story that got Sam Hill into making films like this. So what's your story, Sam Hill?
How did I get that? I don't really remember. I know I got into filmmaking. This friend of mine at the time, he's still a good friend. His name's Craig McIntyre. He does a lot of movies for Troma. And I met him at another filmmaker friend of mine's screening of his film called My Name is A by Anonymous by Shane Ryan. And that guy showed up, and somehow they were friends. They knew each other. And Craig asked if he needed help, or he asked he needed help, could Shane come? I think he was busy, or maybe he was there, I don't really remember. And I said I could do it, and then I went there, and it was either at his house or it was at one of the producers of the X-Men's house. And I've noticed that a lot of people in the Hollywood industry, independent porn and everything, all kind of know each other at a certain level because they all kind of grew up together. And somehow that director asked me to come help. I kind of saw how everything was made, and by that time I like really didn't look at behind the scenes, or if I did look at behind the scenes stuff, it was a lot of like Hollywood director sits on a chair, there's 30 people there, there's a camera operator, an audio guy, and I'm like, I don't know how to get into that or how I would even be like heard as like a voice to be in that. And when I went there, it was Craig holding the camera that he bought at Best Buy. The other guy was his best friend at the time, who was mainly in his films and his prior films. Then it was Charlotte Stokely, who's a adult actress, pretty big adult actress. It was then, I think, yeah, at the X-Men producer's house, or he has some ties to X-Men. And basically, yeah, he was blooding the floors, blooding like his sliding door. Like there was like a pool scene of like, it was like a zombie film or something like that.
Oh, hell yeah.
And I was kind of like, oh, I can do this. Like, I don't entirely need 30 people. I can, like, hold the camera myself and kind of, like, hire people. So I think, I was just out of high school. And I think that couple months later, I shot my short one, my short film called Who Watched Them Die, which is, like, three killers in the woods chasing some victims down, and they're, like, recording it for somebody, obviously the title. And I kind of made it graphic and gory. Some people got interested in it, and then I got into, like, a lot of trouble with my work and volunteership at the time, because I was volunteering with youth, like... And I don't entirely remember what happened, but yeah, I got in trouble with that. They kicked me out, and I ended up just continuing films and doing like shorts, and I was out of high school, so I had nothing else to do.
Yeah.
And then when it came to adult stuff, I grew up in a religious household, so you can watch gore and horror on TV, although my grandma was kind of like against it too. Uh-huh. But the moment nudity or sex came up, it was kind of like, don't look, turn it off, we're not doing this type of thing.
Yeah.
So I always grew up against it.
Yeah.
And we're not really against it. Like, I just didn't have any
like access. Experience really.
Yeah, there was nothing really like to go off it. And then I started to read like Severed Cinema and IMDb stuff of like Serbian film, Tumbling Doll of Flesh, and just kind of going down like the rougher and rougher like independent movies, and was like, who's making these? Like, where do you find them? And then, like, yeah, I watched them, and I was like, oh, this is cool. This is very hardcore and, like, sort of punk metal, like, my kind of avenue. And I ended up falling into finding Inhale Productions, which is, like, a duo from Portland that made a lot of exactly, like, films that I make now, except for they're a little bit more, like, grungy, played off Blair Witch, like one man band type things. And I was like, oh, you can do this too. So I was like, I jumped into that, then became cool with them and like worked on their films and talked to them about like aliases. And like, you probably, if you got in trouble for your like little slasher movie, you're probably gonna more than likely get in trouble for like with work and like some of this stuff. So I kind of jumped into, like, sure, an alias and doing my own stuff. And it seemed to kind of pick up and click, and that, and everybody in that like adult community, kink community, the LGBTQ plus community that I was not close to because of how my religious upbringing, kind of welcomed me and were cool. And I was, we got told a complete lie. So a lot of my friends like ended up becoming like adult, or like were adult actors, or like, in that area. So there was like a blend of like horror fans and friends and like adults, and I was like, cool, you can get away from your adult stuff, like of the routine, and you can try to like learn lines or like work with effects and do this and that. And that kind of gained their interest, and I kind of fell into it that way and been here ever since.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. I know, I hate like the negative ideas that people have, like, even if we tell people we're watching these kind of movies, they're like, what? And I hate it. I don't understand why we have to be like this. But it is mostly because of how we were all raised to think that it's bad.
Yeah, I think there's just like an inherent, like, especially with like media kind of twisting stuff that happened, like Ted Bundy. Was it Ted Bundy? Or Dahmer had The Taming of Rebecca, which is like a BDSM film from the 70s, the same type of thing I explained before, like in his VCR. Mm-hmm. So it's like, oh, he was watching very dominant, disgusting porn. That's why.
Yeah.
And then it swapped to like video games. Like, the reason it was shooting was because all there is a shooting video game. And it's like, I think it's just like when you can tell it's a movie and you're at a theater, it's fine, but the moment it's like, oh, you had to buy it on a DVD and put it on, it's like, I think there's just like a disconnect, like, well, who made it, like, is this and like in perception,
yeah,
this figured perception, there is very much what I've gotten on emails and talking to people,
yeah, with,
like, who watches this shit, it's just like, you know, so I just kind of put stuff in there that I've experienced, and it's very much pretty universally the same.
Yeah,
I mean, we catch the same thing, just, you know, from our little podcast, just talking about, you know, crazy movies. I'm like, man, I should have started a Secret Identity with Sam Hill.
I wouldn't necessarily say it's like a secret identity, because I do post, like, I just don't like to make it about myself, because I know what it can, like, lead to.
Yeah.
And, like, my wife's European, so, like, sex and nudity on screen is nothing to her and her side of the family, so it's like completely different from how I grew up. So, like, it's not like I'm hiding from the in-laws or like my parents. I'm like, I'm an adult, I have kids, so it's like, it's just more the fact that there's a lot of experience of trolls and like people that were like have nothing to do but like
try to make other people's lives miserable.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, just watch the film. Yeah, I did it. Don't just watch it.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like it or don't.
Yep.
Well, we're all the product of a sort of puritanical zeitgeist that I think is sort of still going. So I think it's like pejoratively healthy to sort of almost disassociate yourself from that. Or maybe not healthy, but required, because you don't want, even if you, same way you don't, I don't think anyone should be wholly identified by what they do for work, even if it is creatively enforced, you know.
Yeah, like,
that's a really small way to live, I think.
yeah
unfortunately, yeah, that's like the hope. Unfortunately, I got like the other side of that thing, because when the volunteership did left, I was kind of like at a bad area too financially. So I had a friend who was in the same area that I got removed from, and he didn't care, but his higher ups were like presented a file of me,
and
it was like, okay, like, I guess there is no separation here. But yeah, then I've kind of worked for some other people, and I don't care what you do. I'm like,
yeah,
as long as it's not like killing someone or doing something illegal, like, or like bad press to like us, like, I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm like, but I work for myself now, so it's just like,
yeah. I think that's the best way to go.
I try to do that. It's hard, but I don't have to hear people.
Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks to babypeach.arts and Hexilux for the questions. I want to talk a little bit about Tumbling Doll of Flesh. We just did an episode on it, and you told me it was a big influence for you.
Oh yeah, I have it tattooed on me.
I saw in another interview you've done, there are several odes to inspirations that you've got tattoos of.
Yeah, I have Tumbling Doll and Woman's Flesh, the same director. I have Rubber's Lover, which is a Japanese cyberpunk film, which is a good one. It's crazy. It's not adult really, but it's like a black and white, gory, what the hell, fetishy horror type film. And then I have Della Morte, Cemetery Man on my thumbs, and Tales of the Quad Dead Zone, which is like a shot on video, weird horror film. And what else? Do I have more? No, I think that's it. I think those are the only film-related stuff on me. But yeah, it's usually like what, like, I have to explain them all the time. So like, I'm like, no, it's not just the girl that's being killed. It's a movie.
Yeah. Well, you had that deep dive on Tumbling Doll of Flesh that I linked in our show notes of our episode of Tumbling Doll of Flesh. Yeah. And that's really just kind of how we linked up, started talking about it.
I was bored one day, and I was like, there's got to be more to this. And then I was friends with a guy who owns Massacre Video, who released Tumbling Doll and Woman's Flesh. And he had like a direct correspondence with the director and like the producer or the cameraman, because like And he was like the one who was like, nah, a lot of the stuff you hear online is kind of like just myth built up by bootleg sharers that like, I got this tape that was given to me by a dude in Japan who said like model killed himself by throwing himself in front of a train. And yeah, because the movie was so messed up, and I'm like more than likely she just like stopped doing porn.
Like,
which is makes more sense. But,
yeah.
Yeah, I did a deep dive and I translated a bunch of Japanese write-ups. Like I think it's like a film reviewer from Japan during that time who found it, and then like was mixed in with like the guy who interviewed the director and something else. But like, yeah, I tend to go deep with stuff I like.
Hell yeah, no, I love that, man. it's been kind of hard to find. You know, facts for, you know, old movies like that, especially the Japanese ones.
Yeah.
So it was greatly appreciated you doing that, getting it all a little boxed up for me.
I try. Like, I kind of, like, hate going on subreddits and, like, reading stories, and I'm like, that's not what happened. Like,
yeah.
Really, like, this should be, like, I should go find this film that, like, killed somebody. Like at night, and it's like that didn't happen. Like, but yeah,
Do you feed into that on Reddit? Because that's like most of what Reddit is, I think. Do you get on there and yeah? As I say, I think it's a waste of people's energy. But I wondered, some people do.
No, I try to always be like, yeah, it's more than likely it didn't happen. Like there's another like, why is a Serbian film not like the most? Is not the most disturbing film. I'm like, well, it's not the most disturbing film anymore.
Yeah.
It's like the last film that was that got the director in trouble at a film festival, like had police involvement, that, you know, nobody really knew where it came from. Like, there hasn't really been a film like that since, besides maybe like Terrifier, who like people are puking at the theater.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of what you hear now, but, like, as far as, like, outrage from a film, it's been kind of rare. So, you'll hear somebody be like, it's not disturbing. Like, oh, it was.
Yeah.
If you're at the theater puking over Terrifier, your bloodline is weak.
We recently saw it. We just recorded an episode.
Terrifier 3,
I haven't seen any of it.
they're fine. They're good. They're not puking the theater good.
They're good spectacles. I had a, like, before, what was it? It was like All Hallows Eve or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
One before they did the Terrifier. So I was like in the community, like making films. And I think this was like before A Broke House, or maybe like during A Broke House, which was like the first couple films of adult horror gore stuff. Mixed in with like American Guinea Pig, the first one just got re-released, and like Brian Pollan's gory stuff, and like a bunch of filmmakers, like independent filmmakers that are doing this like backyard DIY underground stuff that were like trying to make cool shit. And then there was like a guy like in the same groups promoting Terrifier. And this was like also like two clown horror movies were out in these groups already. Like 100 Tears, which Unearthed released, and Circus of the Dead were like the clown movies of clown gore.
Mm-hmm.
So like when you're in those groups, that those are like the homies that were like making those films. And then you have another dude who's like, I'm going to do this. Like, I'm going to do these weird or this like gory clown movie. There was like hesitance of like, okay, we already like have that.
Okay.
And then it was done. And then I remember part two going on Indiegogo, and part one made it to Netflix, and everybody was like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah.
And then, yeah, it's Terrifier 2, like, Indiegogo blew up, and we're like, oh, that's the gem in, like, this community, or, like, that this person, like, was talking about. And then, yeah, a lot of people just loved it, or a lot of people just were like, fuck that.
Yeah. Yeah, I see that, too.
I was very in the, can you stop talking about politics, dude? Like, the main actor was, like, really adamant on politics.
Oh, shit, really?
And I ended up, like, dipping out and not really focusing on it.
Yeah.
I was like, and then, yeah, next thing you know, there's like, why is this at Spirit Halloween? Like, this was in our group of like 10,000 people. But I'm glad he made it. You know, he could, he's making bank off it. He's doing that.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Like, I wish I could do that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, along with Tumbling Doll of Flesh, like, what are your other influences?
I mean, I do have, like, interests that, like, I, like, they don't really influence my filmmaking. It's just, like, I wish I could do something like that if I had a budget. So, like, Fincher's movies or, like, the original Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. I wish I could do, like, mystery thrillers like that. Yeah. But, like, as far as, like, influence, yeah, like, the Japan stuff, like I said, Tumbling Doll, like, the In-Hell Productions, which Massacre just released. Massacre Video just released like their shorts, so if you ever wanted to like see them and like compare, like, oh yeah, he definitely like got influence from that guy. Like Richard Kern's films, Kenneth Anger, a lot of just like real independent people that were like doing stuff and like not caring to like make it to Hollywood making it. So yeah, like Richard Kern obviously did like music videos for like Sonic Youth and all that, but like he was also making like a short film called Fingered, which is like where he's like a girl's just getting fingered through the movie through like I guess a burglary or something like that is happening in the story.
Damn.
And I'm like, that's pretty punk. So I'm like, so I like followed that, and then yeah, a lot of like stuff from like the 70s where it's like water power, forced entry, which is just like this guy obviously wanted to make a home invasion movie, but like let's throw rape into the storyline.
Yeah.
Okay. Like showed in a theater in New York, and it's like okay, like these things are kind of like they're like more graphic, more disturbing. They're obviously still films, and it's like there's an audience for it, so I was like, cool, I'm just, like, fit into this niche, but for, like, 2010, 2020 type stuff.
Okay.
And then, yeah, there's no outlet but DVDs and Blu-rays for him, and, like, Film Fest, but, like...
Yeah.
Fun stuff.
Hell yeah.
Well, you know, we have been talking a lot lately about we're just gonna get back into DVDs, because streaming services suck now.
Yeah, even a lot of the streaming for... some like Amazon or Disney and all that, there's been some like independent people that like work in between those, and they're like even saying that regardless of it being like shocking, like horror, we got to cut back on some of the nudity or the gory stuff. So it's like the theatrical release, but I've been hearing like even people saying that like things that would be cut for rated R and like put onto streaming, like certain platforms are telling them to cut, telling like those licensors, producers, filmmakers to cut even more, whether I think it's for like time or it's just like the fact of, oh, you say this in it and it's racist, but the character is a racist person. Like, so you're cutting out like who the character is, because like, so it's not only just like nudity and gore. It's like, we got to like make it PC for the streaming service. So they're like cutting it. Instead of like a 3-minute cut, it's like a 15-minute cut, like removed from it. So you're not even watching like a theatrical release. You're watching like a super cut version of it. And it's like, no, I'm not gonna pay $20 to watch like a film that's 98 minutes cut down to like 78. It's like,
yeah, no. We always want the uncut version.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, and like I remember like putting on movies that I like was like watching like on like Hostel or something like that, that I will put on like at Halloween or something like that. I'm like,
that's not the same movie.
Scene is missing.
Like, yeah.
And yeah, I don't like that. And I'm like,
yeah, it sucks, man. They got us all corralled into these streaming services, and now they're just fucking choking us, dude.
Yeah, like some of them are keeping like some of the independent ones are good. Like I hear Shudder is good. Tubi is like the only one that's like really not doing it, but and it's free. But like, yeah, Shudder and like Tubi is about it. Everybody else has like major protocols, and then like I think Amazon pays like the filmmaker like a couple cents per ad.
Yeah, I heard. I've read a pretty remarkable figures about how payouts work for Amazon. I don't know why anyone's still putting shit on there.
Yeah.
I don't. I think it's. I think it's. There's really not. Like, I've talked to a lot of independent filmmakers. Like, just like they just don't know or how. Why I do it Blu-ray, and I was like, dude, this won't be shown anywhere else unless like I take it to a theater for a film fest that allows it.
Yeah.
Like, you're not gonna see, like, I can't put this on Prime. I can maybe put like one or two on Tubi, mm-hmm. and like the adult sites won't take anything that is like remotely deaf or bloody.
Yeah.
So, like, I can't put them on an adult site either. I could probably put them on like Motherless.
Yeah.
And again, it's probably like whatever, however they are paid, but then you're alongside like dodgy adult homemade videos that are probably something wrong with them. Or like, video. Like, here's my like independently made $7,000 project. And it's like, oh, like next to that stuff. And it's like, like view it weirdly. So I'm like, eh.
Yeah.
So DVD and Blu-ray. If 4K becomes easily able to offer, I will do that too.
Yeah.
I have some stuff I shot in 4K.
Yeah. Anyway, I mean, so what are some like must watch extreme movies in your opinion, Sam Hill?
Ooh. Oh, let me see. I particularly like the gore, like the gore, like splatter stuff. There's not that many people throwing adult stuff into it, but like Necromantic will have aspects of that, Part Two and stuff like that, and all of that director's like catalog. But I like crappy splatter stuff like Ostermontag or like Das Kampfrudel Duel. So it's like no story, and this dude's getting cut up for like 20 minutes. That's a scene. On to the next dude who's getting like punched and he just explodes, type of thing.
Yeah.
So a lot of stuff like that. There are some people doing like really good stuff that like put all my stuff to shame, like Guy Pearce, who's from the UK, is doing he did Sound of Summer, which is like a body horror type weird movie that Unearthed just released. He's doing another one which he just did with the director, I think, of Catsick Blues, and it's like a weird horror haunted place type, like Blair Witch, but like in a Japan type setting like that. So I like stuff like that. Anything from like that Unearthed Real release. So like even their productions like the American Guinea Pigs, which is off of the Guinea Pig series from Japan. Mm-hmm. The owner of Unearthed got rights to do the like continuation of it for America, so he's picked like American directors to direct like their own film. So he did the first one, the effects artist and director for that one did the second one, and then he kind of went off the rails a little bit and got like an Italian's guy like that did one. He kind of just threw it in his third, and he did a, I think that's three, so he did four, and then the fifth one's coming out, and I was able to work camera on that.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, just messed up, gory, independent stuff that like probably a studio will veto scenes before it ever got greenlit. There's quite a bit of people like that doing some fun stuff. But yeah, I would stick mainly like stuff on unearthedfilms.com and massacrevideo.com. They have the what's happening and what has happened type films. So stuff from like the 70s all the way to now.
Oh, yeah.
And Portraits of Andrea Palmer is good.
Yeah. We we covered the guinea pig, all the guinea pig movies. We covered all them.
Eight.
Yeah. And that new one's, it's what, Slaughter of the Swine or something like that?
Yeah, that's like the fifth one that's coming. That's the one I worked camera on and did AD and a bunch of stuff.
Hell yeah.
Hopefully we get it soon. Yeah. I think it's been in the work for a while, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, he just had a discussion on it the other day. And I was where everybody's. Yeah, one of the guys from another film I'm just wrapping up was. He's a friend of mine. Does like a lot of lead stuff in films of mine. He was there, and he was asking about it, and we're like, I think like March 2023 was like the end, and then I did like a pickup day in like August of 2023 or something like that.
Yeah,
and then it's just been with like another director who's editing it. And I guess it's close to being done.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I seen you posted some box art, or maybe the box art for it.
Yeah, and I found that like 3 weeks after they posted it. I was like, when did this come out? They want to send me a text and be like, this one or this one? And they'll be like, oh, look, the Blu-ray's coming out. I was like, I saw it, and I was like, who posted this? And then I was like, oh, it's from Unearth. And I was like, 3 weeks ago.
Wow. Yeah.
I was like, I think I took the photo that the image is painted on.
Thanks, bud.
Man.
I just try to, like, I tend to kind of just do work, and then, especially if it's not my film, like, cool, we'll hope, see it soon.
Yeah.
And then they have other stuff that pops up, and like, this makes money now, not money later, so let's focus on this. And yeah. I think he was doing like the Serbian documentary, editing it, that shooting, this shooting, another film, and like doing all the releases for Unearth. So I'm like, all right, I guess it's understandable.
Yeah, they do have a lot going on.
It was a trials and tribulation for that film. It was like 20 hour days.
Damn.
Something like that. Yeah, I got there like at 10 in the morning, and then drove home at like 4 a.m.
Slept, oh my god.
Like 4 to like 8, and then drove back to be there from 10 to 4 again.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
independent art.
Yeah.
I guess we should talk about Disfigured Perception.
Oh.
One. So this one, starring Shelby Smalls, Ruby Reynolds, Kaya Eve, and Brooke Johnson. We got a little sneak peek screener, and I gotta tell you, pretty damn good movie.
Yeah.
I had fun.
We liked it. Bo's partner Jack even sat in with us and made it through the whole movie.
He's the type that'll puke for Terrifier.
Yeah, so. He is. Yeah, and he wasn't, you know, running out of the room, so.
Yeah. He hardcore winced and shuddered after the plot twist.
Okay.
Yes, he did. We thought we were going to lose him. That
was a bit much for him.
I thought he was going to bail. I really did.
Yeah. We were like, oh, Jack's out. And he was like, no.
I'll put that on the box art. Just be like, Jack's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All I heard him say was, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I try to have the movie be like a lot of, because a lot of the stuff I do is like gore porn. And I'm like, can we like, let me try to do something different. So I was like, I kind of pick things that like, I am like, I don't like things happening to my teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And yeah. Mouth, that's rough.
And with mouth stuff, like injuries, I'm just like, no. So I was like, okay, I always have dreams of my grinding my teeth down so they crack and break.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, so teeth, I don't like anything touching my eyes either. So yeah. I was like, let's have somebody do something with eyes. And then the last scene I kind of just wrote as like a snuff film.
Yeah.
But like made by somebody who, like, I get a lot of, not a lot, I get a good amount of emails where it's like, people giving me their fantasies, and like, I'm like, that's pretty fucked up, because you're not telling me this is a movie, you're telling me this is what you want to do. And I've had like an experience with talking to some people who may have said things wrong, like wrongly. I talked to a guy who was like, wanted to make a film and wanted me to like do what I do for my films, and I was like, oh, well, I would kind of have to get the effects or props to kind of do that. And then he was like, well, we can always, like, you know, cut him and then, like, take him to the hospital to get stitches. And I was like, no, like, we can't do that. And,
wow.
And then I, like, talked to the dude who, like, introduced me. I was like, is he joking? Or is he, like, he
was,
like,
that's what I was about to ask. Is this a troll?
Yeah. And he was like, I think he just kind of, like, said it as a haha joke. It just doesn't come out like that. And I was like,
yeah. Yeah. I hope so.
I was kind of picturing that person when I, like, wrote Kaya's, really interested it to, like, the point of, like, I'll do it if it comes to it type of behavior. And they kind of nailed it. I didn't, all the, like, dialogue between them was, like, them going off on each other. Like, they did that. I didn't, like, I was like, yeah, this is, you are into it to the point of, like, wanting to, like, you're getting turned on by it. And you don't know why you're with her. And, like, it's starting to show now. Like, you realize you're, like, in bed with serial killer type thing.
Okay.
And it they're both, well, Kaya for sure is definitely, like, a big horror fan, so she definitely played into it. It was very opposite, sort of, almost, of the first two segments you saw.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of wanted it to be like that. But yeah.
Yeah, they sold it hard.
Yeah,
It was the most self-aware scene in this type of film I think I've ever seen. It, like, I think I attributed it to almost like breaking the fourth wall. It like almost felt like an attack. Like, why are you watching this, you freak? but I did really enjoy it.
Yeah,
I really did want it to kind of be like, yeah, like a fourth wall finger point to, like, things that I've experienced, or, like, yeah, meeting somebody at a vending, like, where I'm vending, and they say things like that, like, why the fuck would I watch that? And it's like, well, you wouldn't believe me, you would watch it, like,
yeah.
And then on the new film, just wrapping up, it's even more so that, like, it's just, like, an exaggerated version of me. So it's, like, I'm, like, kind of now ticking into, like, that little aspect of, like, yeah, is this real or not? I'm like, of course it's not real, but it's, like, if you want to take it to that, like, weird, that weird part where someone's asking if it's real or is it not real, and then just don't say anything and show them, it's like, that's kind of where I, like, want to, like, play with right now.
Hell yeah.
I was really watching a lot of M. Night Shyamalan, so I was like,
yeah. You nailed it, man.
Yeah.
So, like, do you try to balance, like, the eroticism and the horror in the film?
Yeah,
for everything, like, adult horror, I try to make it 50-50, because I know a lot of horror fans don't want to see their adult content in horror, and a lot of adult fans don't want to see horror in their adult subject matter or whatever. So I always try to, like, cater to both. Like, a lot of the stuff from the 70s was, like, a full-fledged, like, 15-minute, 20-minute adult scene within that movie, and I'm like, 3-4 minutes before we move on, like, and then, like, maybe 3 or 4 of gore, and then kind of back to, like, normality in a way. I try not to, like the, not the fast forward button, but, like, the scene skip button where you just jump to the next chapter. I always try to make it be like, if that scene is still going, if I hit that next chapter thing, it's kind of too long.
Oh, okay.
Unless there's, like, some reason to, like, I'll just spoiling the, like, first part of whatever, because it's shown in the trailer that drops tomorrow.
Okay.
The Shelby's character, where the teeth come out, like, we already saw that she's kind of, like, into it. She's already, like, a fetish person and kind of, like, finds relief from it. But now this pain is happening, and she's trying to, like, escape it from her own, for, like, doing pleasure to escape it. It's like, now let's kind of add the pain, or, like, the thing that was bothering her to it. So it's like, okay, so we showed it for, like, pleasure-wise. Now we're going to show it for, like, gore grotesque-wise. And then, like, sort of end it. So to me, it's kind of different. It's like, one is like, oh, that's hot. And then it's like, that's kind of fucked up. And then it's like, we're going to end sort of on, like, it finishing or ending or like leave it sort of fucked up. We don't really like go back to the like adult scene.
Okay.
I don't know. I think it stayed hot the whole time.
Well, for me, like, you know, it would build. Things were getting real hot, and then all of a sudden she's pulling her teeth out, and I'm like, ugh. And then the hotness starts building up again, and something else fucked up.
Yeah, so there's kind of like this like built up and then like meet it, and then it's either like, okay, it's not hot anymore. And then like bring it back up. And then like I always try to leave with one rather than like leave with both, where it's like the end scene where it's just like one person obviously didn't want it. And it got to a point where like I don't really know if like this should be a turn on anymore.
Well, speaking of that, like going back and forth, you even mentioned it, where she's switching from like experiencing discomfort to trying to like abate it. How involved are you in the scoring of these projects, like the soundtrack and stuff?
So for this one, I have zero. I just kind of gave Joshua Palace, who did all the music.
Right.
He does the composing, that's what he does, is music. I sent him the film. I kind of explained what kind of tone that I wanted to like be with. Mm-hmm. And I kind of just left it to him of like what he thought it would be. And he gave it back with like time codes, which is really nice of him. He scored it to the film, so he was watching the films. And there's this points where it was like that track is way too boppy. Like, because like I said, we saw like the like she's starting to go kind of crazy a second, high intensity music, and then she realizes that like she's either cracking her teeth or falling out due to whatever happened. And I don't think the house music needs to kind of go there. Like, so I'm like that. If he says it's supposed to go from like this scene all the way to the next, I'll check it out and be like, nah, it's like good for like the erotic pleasure things, but I think it should end here and bring something kind of like moody in. And I'll do that on my own. Like,
okay.
Like I kind of have like, I do have final say on how it like it is. And it's not to the fact that like he's not good at it. He's definitely 100% good at it.
Yeah.
Definitely knows what he's doing. But I think it's just like when I look back at the scene, it's like, nah, I think this is supposed to, it's going to take somebody out of like the beat of it is like she's just was experiencing pleasure and like trying to get out of this buzzing mindset to the point of now she's in pain. I don't understand. Like the music can't really flow the same from here and there. So that's when I like cut it and like add something dark and moody or creepy or something like that to it to kind of change it up a bit. And that's, it's kind of like a 50-50. Like he definitely hits the mark and I'm like, I may have moved the mark during editing. So I'm like, oh, let's just sort of change it.
Well, and I've got to give props to your perspective then, because I agree. Not to the same extent as he probably has, but I've been involved in a lot of like soundtrack stuff, and I thought sort of how you just pointed out. I think for me anyway, it would have changed the film if the sort of manic like house beat kept going, because it like for me it's an audible cue like, oh, we're definitely switching headspaces here.
Like one of the scenes where she's kind of like feeling pain and you hear like the buzzing of like that's going on that's supposedly in her head, and she's like walking back and forth and trying to like take herself out of it, or like masturbate, you know, or like sits up and then realizes like I gotta leave. Like it's all good. And even to the moment where she's kind of being like quirky, where she like leaves the bathroom but then sticks her head back out.
I remember that.
And then it goes into the bathroom and you kind of realize like, oh no, there's like something wrong.
Shit's getting real.
That music that was playing before was like going all the way throughout to like she enters the room like afterwards, and I'm like, it's like too bouncy to kind of she's like breaking her teeth off. Like
I think where you had it was
Yeah.
Way more nuanced and effective.
Yeah, I kind of got that comment years ago where because I used to kind of do like YouTube reviews and was part of like a group of people who not only like reviewed horror, liked horror, but also some of them started to move into like creating horror. And one dude did a short film and I did like some sound design music for it, and he had the same comments to me that I kind of made to that, and was like, it just doesn't fit the thing. And I like looked at it and I was like, you're right, it doesn't. And it's not like it's bad, it's like a learning thing that I learned. And I was like, not like everything can't be like high pitched, high bouncy when the scene changes.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kind of just learned it from that. And I was like, oh, sick. Okay.
Well, then your composer's never going to have the same, like, you're not going to have the same perspective.
That's what I was going to say. Like, it's your movie, so you know how you want it to feel in the scene. So I guess you have to kind of be like, okay, this is what I want here.
Yeah. And since, like, he's not like here doing it, I'm not like over the shoulder. Like, I also give him like free
reins
to kind of, you know, do what you think. And then when I get it back, I'll like fix accordingly. Like, he had the music ready for the trailer, and I kind of was like, found the other music that he sent in was like way more like interesting rather than like the one he kind of did quick to kind of get it for the trailer. And I was like, no, these other ones are like really good. So like I sent it to him after he like sent me the original track, and he's like, oh, you blended like two tracks together. That's really cool. I liked how you did. Like, so I was like, so there's not like any like hard feelings about changing that.
Oh,
or, like,
yeah.
You did, like, it didn't work or something like that. It's very like collaborative. And I like that he does that. And it's not like, some people that like I've heard that work with composers, like, no, it's got to be like, I'm like, no,
yeah.
It definitely has to change. Like,
there are some difficult personalities out there. I did want to mention specifically his, it was the, it was almost like a fugue that he sort of goes in around for the entire like last scene. I wanted to ask what was wrong with Mr. Palace. I wrote down, did his sociology degree ruin him? And that's why he writes like that in C major, which is a joke. It was very effective. He's obviously a very good composer because it was maddening.
Yeah.
You're talking about like the last scene where the music just goes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I liked that idea, and then I just changed it because I ended up being like, I was like, wow. It is maddening. Like,
it is maddening. I assumed, I was like, this must be what they were going for. Cause I was like, that is.
I think it was more of the basis of I was really wanting something different from the first part, because the first part does go up and down, and I cut it up and I added sound design of like, obviously I don't use like the girls moaning because I'm giving like direction to. So I like kill the entire audio and then I rebuild it, and I like use other aspects of like other things that maybe filmed or did audio with, where I was like, so like I'll take moans or I'll take like the buzzing of the head, like to kind of like, some people will get like, if you like pay attention, like every time like she realizes the pain's getting stronger, like a buzzing will go higher or whatever.
Yeah.
And then when it got to the twist, I was like, well, I don't want any of that. Like, I don't want like anything related other than like the score from what we just saw slightly playing in the background. But when I did the sound fully for it, I was like, I think it is nauseating. It what is watching kind of matches, but like, I have a feeling just like kind of noise music. It, like, at a certain point, someone's going to turn it off. What they're watching is just because the music is really driving and really kind of like doing its thing amongst the visuals. It makes the visuals sort of seem repetitive, especially with what happens. So, and then I like showed my friend after we were filming Gore Rot, which is like just the horror film I've been doing, and I showed him the ending scene, and I was like, ugh, like, I don't like that. Like, and it was like, I sent it to you guys already, and I was like, the music is very good. It's just really repetitive with the scene that's going on. So I ended up kind of doing the same thing that I did in the first part Mm-hmm. Second, slightly different, like less sound design, more music, but just kind of chopped up. So like it's starting with the music that is shown and then it ends with the music that is shown. But in between, like what happens after like the first couple minutes and then like before the last, I changed it to like the sound design of just moodier music to fit what was happening next and what was happening next. So I do get what you're saying, that it is repetitive.
I didn't necessarily mean it as a criticism, because it almost felt, you know, I mean, I won't argue with some variation, but it kept compounding upon itself. So it was building along with, you know, what was happening. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, I will say the effect, it left me really.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was kind of like thinking like, which one's better? And I think for mine, it was just like, No, it was really, really compounding. Like, it was really building on itself. And mm-hmm. It gave that feeling, but I think in the way I didn't want to give it.
Yeah.
Rather than, like, nauseating through sound and visual, rather than nauseating through what you're watching.
Yeah.
And I kind of wanted to drive home more of this is happening, rather than, like, you know, this music is really making this sweat. So I tried to take both. So I like left mm-hmm. a majority of it in there and then like cut in some like down music. So like when she's like kind of moving around and kind of like choosing the next thing or kind of being cannibalistic with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, cool. Kind of wait a minute. She's picking another part and then the music will come back. And it's like, we thought we were done with it, but it keeps going.
Yeah. Yeah.
I will say the sound design in the first half, with the buzzing and the voices.
Yeah.
Like we were listening in these headphones. And so every time I'd hear those voices, I'd like look behind me like, oh shit. Like I felt a little crazy. I had disfigured perceptions.
A joke he's very proud of and made often.
I really liked that. Like I liked that somebody would kind of be like, it's happening to me, like type of thing, like,
yeah.
And because it's never really, well, she kind of does say what happens, but I didn't really explain. It's like
mm-hmm.
she just got back from the hospital and like the hospital was like, oh no, you should be fine. And then it's like, which is my fear of like spending this entire time dealing with an injury or something wrong with like my kid or something like mm-hmm. that. Be like, no, there's nothing wrong, like you got a head injury, we fixed it, go home. And then yeah. you go home and something happens.
Mm-hmm.
That was my fear, and like if it getting worse, where it's just like I'm bleeding through my bandages. They didn't say anything about that, and then mm-hmm. now all of a sudden, I'm starting to get like mental fractures, where it's like buzzing or like an unrelenting pain mixed in with like my thoughts are audible, like mm-hmm. almost like a schizophrenic type of thing. Is it me or is it the injury type of thing, where it's driving me insane? With her, it's she kind of explains in the echoes that she's kind of that way, and it's just now intensified. Whereas, like, she's like, I can't stop being who I am. Even when the paramedics came, I, like, couldn't let the show die. So it's like she's talking to herself, and then now, like, her inner thoughts are becoming audible to us. And I really wanted it to be like, am I tripping right now? Is, like, somebody talking?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sort of like it's going in your home type of thing.
Yeah.
And that was, I try to make it for that. I like things like that.
Well, I think you nailed it.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yes. You did.
It's good. I tend to kind of put a lot of emphasis on what I create. And then even though some people are like, this looks like you did this in your backyard. I'm like, well, first off, we did do it in the backyard.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Yeah.
What are you doing, motherfucker?
But, I tend to try to go make something out of nothing, but the something be quality.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like the cinematography and all that. I really liked it.
Good.
Damn good movie.
Charging and when I do my camera work.
Man. Yeah. Hotties all the way around. Love that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, these are beautiful people you work with.
Yeah,
I try to include everybody. I don't like to force people to be in my projects. Like, come on, I really like your work.
yeah,
I think you do really good. And they're like, I don't really want to be in it. And I'm like, well, we'll pay your, like, the fee you want.
Yeah.
Like, I always try to, like, if there was no money there, would you still do it?
Uh-huh.
And those people, I really try to keep there. And that's why it's like, I don't really write, like, Sarah, Asian.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. One, it's just like, Sarah, this is what she's, what happens to her. Are you cool with that? Like, yeah. I love Sarah's what happened, but I like so-and-so's. I feel like I fit more with that character. And I'm like, okay, so you're going to be that person. Instead of Sarah. Now I got to go find Sarah. So it's like, I feel like it fits what people's interests are. And if they're interested in doing that scene, it'll work better. And mm-hmm. I just don't really say no to anybody unless it's like they have an issue with something or they're problematic.
Well, me neither. Now I have HPV.
Oh my god. No, it's fine.
I mean, it works sometimes. Yeah. It fits into the scene. If it doesn't, I'll write it for you. Like,
oh yeah. That's gotta make for a better set of working conditions in general, though, because if someone's there for a check versus some sort of creative investment in the project, that's a different situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's, I kind of can get the gist of it before hiring. I don't think that there's really, I've been on sets, they're not mine, that usually someone's there because they have a name and they're like, they'll do it for the thing, and it's just like the paycheck or whatever, and it's like, not really present, they're not really like caring if this gets done or not. Like, a lot of people, when I, like, the people I shoot with are just like, they're there early, they're giving their own input of like, I think maybe she should do this, and it's like, okay. Like, I think the audible talking to herself was maybe Shelby's idea too, where it was kind of like, I told her, I was like, yeah, I really wanted to make it like, she's freaking out, and what do you do when you freak out? Like, someone that's talks to herself mainly, will it enhance? And she's like, oh, I could do that. And like, hopped into her, like I do this when I freak out. So she kind of contributed to that to make it seem more like that. Usually those people that like don't care to be in it won't be collaborative in the creative
process. Right.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, we really loved that they weren't like super skinny, like, you know, not every single girl was super skinny like we've seen in all the movies we've watched pretty much.
Yeah, that is one thing that I try to do is have different, like, a variety of different people, different backgrounds. I don't say no to anybody due to their, like, who they are. Like, in the beginning of A Broke House, a lot of people thought I had like a hair fetish. Girls that, or anybody who just like didn't trim their hairs, but it was just the more part of that's their thing, that's what makes their money, and they're not, I'm not gonna have them shave for a scene in a movie. Like, if they want to, sure, but I'm not gonna make them do it. It's not, we're not dealing with thousands of dollars here where it's like, it's a life-changing experience. I need you to do this for this, like, Shelby was just somebody who followed my work and was interested, and the times lined up. I found Shelby's fitting into what I was doing, and I didn't, the only thing I think I had, like, I picked wardrobe. This looked better on camera than that looked better on camera. I also was like, that's Shelby. I didn't change her hair or tell her to, like, redo her hair. Like, just come as you are sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I don't really write anything that requires that, too. Like, everybody's just like, I write a character and, like, oh, you're kind of good. So, you're the character now. Like, but I have gotten shit over that, so.
Well, I think it's awesome.
That it's awesome. I mainly do that for my films, and I had a friend of mine who shot something, I think, before I was even born, and had me edit it, and I edited the film, and I released it, and one person, I got a couple of emails that were like, I can't believe you used somebody so skinny in your projects, and I was like, well, I wasn't born when this film was shot. And I'm not going to, if they're skinny or a little bit heavier, I'm not going to like deny them roles over it.
Yeah.
Like that's how they are. So it's like, if they're hyped about it and they're into it and they're cool to work with, you got it.
Yeah.
That's about it. That's what happens for me.
Well, even in Disfigured Perception, we saw, you know, the balance too. Like we had the super skinny girl at the end and also the bigger girl. So yeah, I think it's a good balance. Seems like you're all about balance.
It's the balance. I don't have that much balance in my life, so I try to make balance and the creative aspect of it.
Yeah.
So.
Quick call out to, if you're consuming media from somewhere called anything with Baroque in the name and you expect like bald pussies, like, do you know when the Baroque period happened? Get a grip.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff pulled from stuff like that where it kind of matches. A Baroque, Tumbling Doll of Flesh, their parent company was a Baroque. I think it was just Baroque. And then it was made by Aroma Planning, which is the big Japanese porn distributor. They had Subsets, which is Aroma Planning, was it? And then the Subsets were Psycho and Baroque. And I kind of took that from them and put a Baroque house, which is a Baroque house for Baroque. And
hell yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it ended up you kind of mimicking that type of period. But,
well, they were way cooler.
Yeah, I tried.
Disfigured Perception, November 23rd, 2024. Pre-order that shit. Do you know how many copies you're going to press up?
It may just be standard altogether, just no limit. I may do like a limited cover of just something that's more graphic, especially knowing I didn't take that many pictures on set. A lot of stuff pulled for promos, pulled from the film. But there is photos of the end scene of like what happens fully at the end. So I may do like a limited graphic gory cover of what happens.
Okay.
That's like limited to like 100 or something like that.
All right.
And then just the rest have to be just normal cover. So there'll be no limit on those.
All right. Cool.
For those collectors out there.
Hell yeah. Well, you got anything you want to plug before you head out? Or?
No, I think you guys did it well. I mean, yeah, Black Friday goes from 11/23 to 11/29. There should be 3 to 4 new films. 3 I did, and 1 my friend Kevin Decker did, which is an adult film called Revenge of the Cumpires.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So all of that. Sales will be going through that whole time. It'll be dropped to like 50% to like 60%. So if you're hesitant or don't know what the hell we're talking about, you can check out the films there and get them for a discount. So, you know, some of you won't see it and be like, what did I just spend $20 on? And yeah, that's just basic about it. I'm on Instagram, which will probably be tagged below.
But, yeah.
Damn sure will.
And I just constantly talk about myself, even though I don't really like doing it.
All right, man. Well, thanks for chatting with us.
Yeah.
Anytime.
All right, man. Talk to you later.
I'll see you.
Bye.
Big thanks again to Sam Hell for hanging out with us. Since recording this interview, it looks like Vania 2 is funded and up on Indiegogo. I'll link it in the show notes. So be sure to check it out. And remember to pre-order Disfigured Perception, November 23rd, 2024. Tune in next week when we cover 1987's Lolita Vibrator Torture. Spicy title. Spicy movie? We'll see. Say bye, bitch.
Bye, bitch.
That's damn good.
Did you think this podcast was as good as Instant Noodles? Or is it more like a cobalt blue tarantula? Leave us a rating and review wherever you're listening to this podcast at. Get in touch with us at WTFAreYouWatchingPod@gmail.com where you can leave reviews for the movies we've been watching, recommend other movies for us to watch, or leave any questions or comments for us to answer. Either way, thanks for listening.